This is May Brussel. It is the second half of tape 850, March the 21st, 1988. As I look at the material I've been doing and pulling out the pass sheets and looking at the current news, you can really see why the powers that be wouldn't want me on very many radio stations at this time. I've gotten a lot of mileage up till now, but this is an election year, and it's an important year for all of us. And if I were out there, I'd probably shut me up too. But that doesn't mean that you people can't use this material. You don't have to say May Brussel said this, along with your tapes, as you know, as a bibliography sheet. You can go to the library and copy these articles from the Miami Herald. Most of the big libraries probably have it. And work on the story of Jeb Bush. And that earlier source of information on tape 840 gives the information about Santos Traficana and Robert Vesco putting the seed money into Mr. Ricchieri's operation. Now, there's so much news to cover all over the place, but each one half hour of the programs, I'll update general news and then do a continuous series on material that I've done before or new material that is very important that we have to study in depth and not give it a 2 or 3 minute comment. Each item deserves a lot of attention. But right now there's a trial going on in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and it has to do with the Nazi Party and the Ku Klux Klan and the Aryan Nations. It's a very complicated story. I started subscribing to the newspaper in Fort Smith so that I can understand what is going on and so that I can share it with you, because there's articles every day concerning that trial. And I also have a log of all the papers I take, and I'm checking off any one of those that has a story on the trial. So far, through a large amount of articles from the first few days of the trial, only the New York Times has had anything. Liberty Lobby and Kansas City Star. So if you're seeing any articles on the sedition trial, if they're large, if they're just 1 or 2 inches, forget it. But I mean a large in-depth article, send it to me and I'll share these with you. Now, as background, I'm going to give you the story of the 14 defendants. That may take the half hour, but next week I'll do part two on the implications of this trial. And some of them are horrendous. There isn't a day that or a week that I'm not really shocked, and I'm not even shockproof after all these years, but some of these stories are really bad. And, of course, they're not coming out through a lot of the sources that we should depend upon. One of the most shocking stories came out of The Guardian. They had an article on this, and I'll share that with you. Now, the charges are seditious conspiracy to overthrow the government, and they also are charged with attempting to murder federal officials, and they not only plan to overthrow the government, they plan to kill a federal judge, and the only reason he wasn't killed, Judge Franklin Waters and FBI agent Jack Knox, was it was the day after Christmas. They thought that would be a good day to kill them. And there was a snowstorm in the van that they were going to use, had trouble, and it fouled up the attempt that day to kill them. They are charged with planning to poison the water. I've mentioned that before. That would kill 400,000. A plot to interrupt utility services. And there are a list of other charges that I'll get into. But I want to give you the 14 defendants and who they are, where they come from, and the implications. Now, the three biggies are Richard Gernt Butler, Robert Miles, and Louis David Beam. And, of course, when all of the activities were coming down with the Aryan Nations, when Mr. Matthews was killed several years ago, I did a few broadcasts. But of these three, Richard Butler of Idaho is considered the key player, described as the key player, even in the Kansas City Times. And the three key ones, Butler, Miles, and Beam. And there are 14. So I'll run down in this order. Richard Butler, he just turned 70 years old from Hayden Lake, Idaho. He was the head of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian, the Aryan Nations. He created the Order. Think of Adolf Hitler and the Order, because Butler, of course, was in military intelligence. I'll detail that in a little bit. He founded the Christian Identity Movement, and that's also called the Silent Brotherhood. So those are the affiliations of Richard Butler, who worked in Burbank on the YouTube program with the likes of Edwin Wilson and James McCord and E. Howard Hunt and Alan Dulles and so forth. Richard Butler. He's been charged with seditious conspiracy to overthrow the U.S. government. There was a meeting at his compound in 1983, summer of 83, with the plans to begin overthrowing the government. And the Church of Jesus Christ Christian was founded in 1978. He moved up to Hayden Lake because there are very few blacks, and that's where he wanted to do his work. He has an annual Nazi Christian Identity Ku Klux Klan meeting, and on his location were the weapons found that killed Alan Berg, the radio talk show host. And as I say, the meeting for overthrowing the government for polluting the water took place in 1983 on his property. Robert Miles, 63, has been charged with seditious conspiracy to overthrow the United States government. And Robert Miles has the Mountain Church. He was formerly head of the United States Ku Klux Klan, the whole total group, but he's now a minister, and he's in Michigan, Cohocta, Michigan. He has a 70-acre farm east of Lansing, and it's a base for extensive travels. He has the mobility and travels around, and Richard Butler has the compound where they meet, and he reaches all the hate groups, and he attends meetings of planning to overthrow the government. And, of course, he was at Butler's at the time they're planning that. And his goal is that only whites should live at all. Whites only, that the United States homeland he wants to start in the Northeast would be a beginning. He's a self-described racist. Butler is a self-described Nazi with the swastika and the armbands and so forth. And this is the Klan group, and Butler is the military, the military connections. And then the third heavy of this team charged with seditious conspiracy to overthrow the government is Louis David Beam. And he was a former head of the Ku Klux Klan, the Knights of the Klan, and his headquarters are in Dallas, Texas. He's a Vietnam veteran. He hid away in Texas and Mexico when the indictments came down. He fought in Vietnam War. He also fought the Vietnamese that came to Texas and Galveston that were doing the shrimping, doing the fishing there. And his expertise is setting up a racist computer network. He's a white supremacist. He says the United States is in the control of ZOG, Z-O-G, Zionist Occupation Government. And he attended the 1983 conference to overthrow the country. Now, the Kansas City Times has a story February 15th. Butler, as I said, is considered to be the key player by those on trial, and all those that are in prison and on trial. And Butler and one other are the only two not in any jail while the trial is going on. He's the elder statesman, the elder gentleman. Now, visualize this. Butler worked in the Defense Department. He worked at Lockheed. He worked in Burbank with Thane Caesar, the man who shot Robert Kennedy from the back of the head, who I learned years ago was in the Nazi party out in Riverside. He moved to Idaho, but he came from the Defense Department. One article described Butler as a one-time California engineer. That's the Kansas City Times. Had that story, California engineer. But the Houston Post describes Butler as being an aerospace engineer, which, of course, aerospace is Defense Department. One could be a private engineer, but aerospace is Defense Department. So depending upon what paper you read, and very few have articles, one, the Houston Post has identified him. Now, Butler from California, working with Thane Caesar, Lockheed, and so forth, going up to Idaho where they have their meetings annually and train and compounds for shooting and swastikas and so forth. Robert Miles from Michigan, that's the home territory of Henry Ford and General Motors, the two largest corporations, along with ITT, that was the third, that funded Adolf Hitler, that put Hitler into power, that published the anti-Semitic Elders of the Prodigals of Zion. Bishop Triffy of the Iron Guard went to Michigan. A lot of people, including Helene Von Dahm or Robert Vesco, John DeLorean, went through Detroit, Michigan. It seems to be a breeding ground, not coincidentally, and a lot of people come to this country, pick up a large hunk of money and start their businesses that go through Detroit, Michigan. So Butler from California, working closely with the people who killed John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, and Miles from Michigan, where this intense Nazism and funding and arming Nazis in Germany in this country is brewing all of the time. And the third is Ray Beam from Dallas, Texas. That's where persons were brought from Munich, Germany for the assassination of John Kennedy, with the General Walker team, and of course in Berchtesgaden, where Adolf Hitler's home is, as a General Walker Hotel. And a listener to the programs told me about his experiences when he was stationed in Germany. So the three kingpins of what looks like a bunch of kooky guys are Los Angeles, Michigan, and Dallas. And it's no coincidence that Butler, Miles, and Beam are charged with sedition because they act like they're independent, but they have tentacles to very powerful people. The fourth defendant is Richard Joseph Scutari. He's a New Yorker. He's in the order that was set up by Richard Butler. He also is part of the Covenant, Sword, and the Arm of the Lord, the CSA. He's been charged with sedition, conspiracy, transporting stolen money when they did a robbery at Ukiah and picked up over $3 million for their weapons. He operates out of New York and San Antonio, Texas. He once lived at the compound in Missouri-Arkansas border of Covenant, Sword, and Arm of the Lord. And he had weapons that were related to killing a state trooper that killed a state trooper. He's now in prison for that, and he's in prison for racketeering and robbery, but he was found with weapons that had killed a state trooper that led to him at the compound between Missouri and Arkansas. It's sort of a colonial dignitat training place for these people that has, for the time being, been closed down. Bruce Carroll Pierce is the fifth defendant, charged with seditious conspiracies, 37, a member of the order that's the group set up in Idaho, Hayden Lake with Butler. He's now in a U.S. penitentiary in Leavenworth for racketeering. He was convicted for killing Alan Berg in Denver, Colorado. As I say, the weapons were that killed Berg were found on the property of Richard Butler, the aerospace engineer, and Bruce Carroll Pierce was part of that. Andrew Virgin Barnhill, 32, sixth defendant, charged with seditious conspiracy, transporting stolen money, a member of the Covenant, Sword, and Arm of the Lord. And as I go through these 12 defendants and as I describe the trial, some of it will be repeating to tie in the loose ends, the organizations being the Church of Jesus Christ Christian, the Aryan Nation, the Order, Identity, Silent Brotherhood, Covenant, Sword, Arm of the Lord, Ku Klux Klan, and Nazi Party. Those are the main branches with the same mindset and thinking, but everyone has to be a president or secretary of something, so they've each given themselves names, and of course the ministers are Richard Butler and Robert Miles. Mr. Barnhill is now in federal prison on charges in Florida for racketeering. The question may be asked, well, if they're already in prison for one thing, why this? But this is the seditious plan, treason to overthrow the United States government. Artie McBrearty, McBrearty, 60, has been charged with seditious conspiracy. Defendant 7. He's a member of the Order with Richard Butler and Covenant, Sword, and Arm of the Lord. That Arkansas, Mississippi, the borderline there where they work together, this large encampment where they train together, he's part of that. They overlap, of course, Missouri-Arkansas border. And he's in federal prison in El Reno, Oklahoma, on racketeering. David Eden Lane, his name is quite prominent in a lot of Nazi activities. And I have to check up. I think Lane was involved with Robert Vesco trying to help the Nazi clan take Dominica Island. I'll look that up. I just remember now that name rang a bell with those operations. He's been charged with seditious conspiracy. He's a member of the Order of Richard Butler. He has long, strong links to the Ku Klux Klan, and he mingles with all of them like Richard Butler. He goes to conferences, and he's one of these kingpins that roves around. He's now in the U.S. Penitentiary in Marion, Illinois for racketeering. His home base was Colorado, and he's been charged with the murder of Alan Berg, the killing of Alan Berg. Lambert Miller is the ninth defendant. He's been charged with two counts of a conspiracy to kill the federal judge and the FBI agent I mentioned. He's part of the Covenant, Sword, and Arm of the Lord. His home base was Springfield, Missouri. Robert Neil Smalley is the 10th defendant, convicted of racketeering and also altering records and hiding arms and the sales of arms to the order. He is a man who supplies the weapons. He's a gun dealer, and he took stolen money from the Brinks robbery in Ukiah and other places. The murder of a man in the pawn shop was done, and I'll do more details on it, because he was Jewish and that money is used to buy weapons. This man was receiving stolen money, and it was money for the order, Richard Butler's group, and then they would buy their weapons. His home base is Fort Smith, Arkansas. There's two family members in this case, witnesses or defendants, 11 and 12, I've numbered them. One is Ivan Ray Wade, he's 36, and the other is his father, William Wade. And Ivan's been charged with threat against federal officials and conspiring to kill federal officials. He was in on that plot to kill the FBI agent and the judge. And his father's been charged with conspiring to kill federal officials also. Both of them are heavily involved in the Ku Klux Klan. Their home base is Smithville, Arkansas. And according to the newspapers there, Wades are well-known citizens. The father was the chosen Arkansas Farm Family of the Year and served on the State Farm Commission. And Wade and his son together, William Wade and his son Ivan, wanted to help James Ellison after Gordon Call, and I'll do more on that. The tax protester was murdered. They volunteered to help get vengeance upon the federal authorities for killing Mr. Hall, and they harbored Gordon Call before he was killed by the federal marshals. It was their property on their farm that he fled. And on that farm home was rented that they owned to a lady who also is not indicted, but where Gordon Call stayed. Richard Wayne Snell is a 13th defendant. He's 57, convicted of slaying the Arkansas pawn shop owner because he was Jewish and an Arkansas state trooper, and for a third murder. And he's also been charged with seditious conspiracy plot to kill a federal official. His home base is Musse, Oklahoma, originally from Missouri, and he's on death row in Arkansas for another murder. The defendants have tried to say that what we are telling you is unpopular, but it's freedom of speech. And, of course, the prosecution is saying speech, nothing. We've located drums of cyanide that would kill 400,000 people, and it doesn't have to do with speech. It has to do with acts. The final defendant of the 14, David Michael McGuire, 25, charged with two counts of conspiracy to kill federal officials. His link is to the CSA, the Covenant Sword and Arm of the Lord, and to their leader, James Ellison, who has a track record not to be proud of, but he is getting immunity, and Ellison is going to get a new identity for him and his wife and his nine children in return for spilling out the details of the prosecution. So this story now to unfold in some of the other details about it. The two killings led to the opening of this case. One was in 1984 when an Arkansas state trooper was killed, and it was traced to the Missouri-Arkansas compound of the well-organized Covenant Sword and Arm of the Lord after this murder of the state trooper. And then the weapons to kill Alan Berg were located in the Aryan Nations compound up in Idaho. And it was these two murders that led to the investigation and the sedition trial indictments that were placed April 1987. And according to the indictment, these groups traveled frequently. And of course, and I'll detail it as we go on, there are links to other fascists in this country and to Nazi Germany, the old Nazis, the neo-Nazis, and so forth. I detailed the links of Richard Butler to these people several years ago, but there's many new listeners now, and some have to be reminded, including myself, of just how tangled this web is. But they've been highly armed, and they are a group of racist right-wing zealots who, as I say, travel frequently and even setting up their own radio talk show for Nazism and Aryan Nations in Utah that became very controversial. According to the prosecution and U.S. attorney, these men and these groups can pose a serious threat against the United States. They went well beyond talking and writing. They took direct action. Direct Action, coincidentally or maybe not, is the name for the radical group in France that is funded by the Nazi, François Junot, who attended the meetings in 1943 when the Nazis went underground. He's the money man for blood spilling for terror in Europe, and his group is called Direct Action, but the prosecutor just said they took direct action. And these indictments are iffy and sticky because if the men are out, it means that you can stockpile drums of cyanide, that you can get ammunition of all kinds, that you can practice shooting bodies, cardboard of police and black people. You can give orders to kill Jews on sight and so forth. But if they go to prison, then the vacuum is filled with new leaders that come along because they become heroes, just as Adolf Hitler became a hero when he went into jail. It's like the Munich push. There's no winning in this. There's absolutely no winning either way because it's gone so far. Now, in 1985, the Arkansas compound was closed down several years ago, and this was a paramilitary training site. Now, we have some paramilitary sites, one by Franklin Camper, who was teaching the Sikhs how to blow up atomic energy plants and bomb airplanes. Camper is now in jail for firebombing two homes out in Riverside in California. He himself personally going to California. But we're never going to run out of paramilitary training sites. And if you don't believe that, just read Soldier of Fortune for 1 month. But this particular one was closed down and they had piles of weapons. And some of these men have already been convicted of murder. And there's dozens of leaders involved here of interrelated survivalist groups, some in jail, some out, a few are dead, and some are providing evidence against each other. Now, Butler, who heads the order, the compound up in Utah, was and always has been the focal point of activity. And as I say, he's not in jail now while the trial's going on in Arkansas. He's on the outside giving press releases and holding rallies with the Klan right in town, and people are coming from all over the country for support for these people. He founded the Christian Identity Movement, where he teaches religious ideas under the hate umbrella. And he does that, seems to do that pretty good. Butler, as I say, was a California engineer until the mid-70s, and then he moved up to Utah, where he does his operations. He has people up there that he converts into the operations. They wear shirts that say white power shirts, and the shirts that are advertised in Soldier of Fortune and Gung Ho and other magazines are very offensive about who to murder and who not to murder. And he has paramilitary training there, and at the end of their meetings, they give the Hitler arm salute, the up in the air, and look at a swastika that hangs over his pulpit. And Richard Butler has this annual congress, as I say, of patriotic soldiers, anti-Semitic, anti-black, anti-gay. And Butler has planned his own, in planning his own defense, he's arguing that this is freedom of speech, but every week he's making tape cassettes. And he's sending them out to radio stations so that his followers will be posted. And I say again, Khomeini made tape cassettes in Paris. That's how he got in Iran. How many of you will take this tape cassette and make 5 copies or have somebody make them for you and send them on? I bet that listeners to World Watchers won't send out as many cassettes as Mr. Butler gets out, but people think they are well-meaning and that there's a necessity to spread information about these people. Maybe as time goes on and things get more heated, the urgency of this activity will become apparent to people who haven't done it until now. Now, one of the people close to these operations is Tom Metzger, a prominent Nazi in California who has links to Manfred Roeder and the German Nazis. He's founder of the White American Resistance War Group, and he's close to a hunk of these 14 defendants, if not all of them. He was involved with his son to form the Skinheads. The Skinheads came from Dallas to Arkansas to demonstrate in support with Richard Butler. And the Skinheads, just recently, the San Francisco Examiner had a story, April the 20th, Skinheads and 5 white supremacists attacked a woman, drew a swastika on her wall with her own blood. And victims identifying the Skinheads with a lot of this activity. And, of course, there's that very quiet case going on in New York with a girl who said that as the swastikas were put on her, and that she was raped, multiply raped. There's a lot of questions about that case, so I'm not going into that now. But Richard Butler is involved with Metzger and the Skinheads, and they're supporting him in the case. Dan Gayman, G-A-Y-M-E-N, from Shell City, Missouri, may be one of the people to take over if Richard Butler or the others are kept in jail for a while. These are the people that would succeed him, Tom Metzger and Dan Gayman, a gay man of Shell City, Missouri. He's associated with Richard Butler. He could move into the leadership role, according to the news accounts. He's part of the Aryan Nations, the Order, and the Identity, and they work their way up very nicely and have backups, which a lot of the so-called liberal groups don't have either, of people to come in and fill the space. Now, this trial of the 14 is the very first time in the United States government that sedition charges have been against white supremacists, and it's a very important story, and it's shocking how little news is coming out about this. And evening news, nothing about what's going on in the trial. The indictments include more than 100,000 overt acts. They involve 13 states. That's pretty widespread. There are more than 200 witnesses to come, 1,200 pieces of evidence, and, of course, a lot of books on how to kill, unconventional warfare devices and techniques, expedient hand grenades, etc. And there are code names that Louis David Beam has and gave. He's the Lone Star. Of course, he's from Texas, but he set up the computer network, and they have their own codes, so it's hard for a person tapping in or working sometimes to even identify who's giving the messages. And the Ku Klux Klan, as I say, and the Skinheads are demonstrating in Arkansas and supporting Richard Butler and Robert Miles. These two men are so important, and they're not in prison. They're outside doing radio shows and programs and letting the world know what's going on according to their view. Now, two of the defendants in this case, William Wade and Ivan Wade, claim to be Choctaw Indians. And they, on their defense, they said these wouldn't be white supremacists because they wouldn't include two Indians. And Ivan said, I wouldn't be part of that group. You have the wrong person, because I heard a tape in which one of them, one of the things on their tape cassettes that they make for each other involved the slaying of Indians in America. So here are two Indians that are part of the operation, but that has about as much effect as Roy Cohn, a Jew, even looking for Nazis, and he worked closely with the Nazis and Nazi war criminals. So whether or not the Wades are Indians or not, they're trying to say I'm innocent because I wouldn't be part of a group who were white supremacists if we're Indians. And besides that, they plan to kill Indians. There were a lot of Jews in Nazi Germany that heard talk of killing Jews and supported Adolf Hitler and then were killed later. That didn't mean that Hitler was taking over the whole country and everything the Jews had. It just means that the Jews were stupid for working with Adolf Hitler. Now, Gordon Call was murdered several years ago, 1983. Remember him, the tax protester? And he was killed in a gunfight with the Arkansas police. And this is what triggered the whole idea. At least they say that was the motive. I can't believe that it actually would be the motive for their intent to poison water, because, as I say, I learned about the plan to poison Lake Michigan in 1971, by fall of 71. They're saying it was vengeance for the Call murder, that these are Call sympathizers, and that therefore they were going to blow up the interstate gas line in Arkansas in 1983 and detonate explosive devices and blow up electrical transmission lines because Call was killed. And then the activity of loyalty to the tax protester and having harbored him blew up. And so these people are saying we're only doing this out of reaction. So at the meeting in 1983, they decided they would have to use stolen money. So they, several were charged with knowingly transporting the money, and the Ukiah holdup in 1984 of the armored truck was a way to get money for these operations. Actually, very little money was traced to the holdup. Millions is still gone, and I think it went to something even more evil than these obvious people that you can slap on the wrist. And another 2-3 million went elsewhere. And that, of course, has never been recovered. Well, my time is up now. Next week, I'll do 1.5 hour of updating the news. I didn't even talk about the horrendous Honduras incursion. That's one way of Reagan leaving his weapons behind and sending home empty airplanes with just the GIs on them and leaving the weapons for the Contras. There's so much news coverage on that, I didn't bring it up. But I will do 1.5 hour of update the news and then part two on the Aryan Nations and some very shocking material. There's no time now, but we'll do that and follow that court case because it is important and because the connection these men have to the computerized links around the country and what it could mean. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel, and I'll be back with you next week with another tape. Take care, and everything's okay here. I suppose it is. I'm still here, so we'll continue next week. Bye-bye.